2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome on in. It's KSL's unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. I mean, I've just been blown away by Zion Williamson's first 11 minutes of his NBA regular season career.
Blown away, Scott, by the fact that he's made it up and down the court.
Well, he's off the court
it
now.
It looks labored. I just tell you, it's not a pretty looking thing right now.
Scott,
he
listen,
made a good pass.
You don't want anybody. Look, you know what it was.
I'm
like.
I'm not being critical. Said, I'm just saying it's just.
It's gonna just do this. Just do the Jazz excuse and go. It's gonna take a minute for him to gel with his team. It's gonna take him between 20 and 30 games to really get his rhythm.
Dante Exum. It took him like 4 years.
All right, we got to kick off the 8 o'clock hour. The way that we do it is we. Well, in this case, we're bringing on a guest here with us. He's the voice of the Utes. He is Bill Riley joining us on the program. Bill, big week for you, Kansas City Chiefs fan and Kansas Jayhawk. With all that's been going on the last 24 hours, do some explaining on your college basketball team here, buddy.
Well, I mean, there's no explaining. The brawl.
Explain yourself. What's your deal?
I mean,
and welcome to the show, by the way.
Well, 21-year-olds who lost their minds last night. There's not really any explaining that away.
We hold you responsible as the only Jayhawk that I know within 50 mile radius.
50, really? Like, let's
like
about
1,000 mile radius.
50. Miles.
You have some explaining. No, we were just talking about. Is it enough to do for 12 games? For being the center of that fight, and you know, a handful of guys got suspended today, but 12 games, of course, for the biggest piece of this brawl, and for Silva D'Souza's actions, was that enough, or did you think maybe it needed more or less?
Well, here's what I said. I said this on my show today. We live in a culture now where we go from 0 to 100. There's no in between. Somebody makes a mistake, and their career has to end, their life has to end, they have to get the death penalty, it has to be the most extreme thing. He didn't hit anybody with that chair. I'm not excusing what he did. He picked it up. Coach kept him from doing it.
Right.
But, you know, it was a fight. Scott played football. We've all played basketball, ward ball, high school ball. People lose their temper. Fights happen. The worst part of that for me last night was it spilled into the handicap section at Allen Fieldhouse. That was the horrible part. But I don't know anything about the situation. Silvio D'Souza, don't know him. He goes to the same school I went to, but I don't have a tie to that. Bill Self knows him better than anybody. The league gave him a 12-game suspension. That Bill Self says he's suspended indefinitely.
Yeah.
So maybe he will, maybe he won't play again. But there was a great clip a couple of years ago from Nick Saban, where Saban basically went off because of the same thing. People were calling for a player to be kicked off the team or something, and he basically said, you know, I know this better than anybody, and where do you want these guys to go? He says, do you want them in school where they can be supervised, where we can try and straighten their life out again? Or do you want them on the street? Do you want them going someplace else? So I just am one of these people. I don't know enough about the situation, what the kid's situation is. I do know he was part of that Adidas. His guardian was the one who took the money from Adidas, and he's had a rough go of it because he was suspended last year. He missed the year, and then he came back, and he hasn't played much this year. So 12 games for me for now, sure. That's fine for now. It was a bad look for the university. They have to deal with that along with other things. But to me, not being near it, maybe if I covered Kansas, I might have a better feel for it. But for me, if the league says 12 and Bill Self says indefinitely and the other guy gets 3 or 4 games, for me, that's good enough.
That's good enough. Yeah. I want to go back to what you said earlier, and just so everyone's clear, Ward Ball is by far the worst
yes.
sport ever, and more fights go on there in the name of, fair play, whatever. Do not play Ward Ball.
I played it. It's a physical brand of basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for playing in a church, it's a very unchristian form of basketball. Yes. Just say that right now.
I think everyone would agree with you. Utah's going to – they've already started the new year and this the actual signing date's coming up around the corner. And we're kind of looking at a lot of these new rosters coming into next year. And there are certainly a lot of players coming back, and the cupboards aren't bare. But I just want to talk a little bit about Utah's roster next year. And the thing that jumps off the plate at me or the screen with Utah is – what in the heck is going to go on with the secondary? Because it just feels like everybody's gone. And I think Javelin Guidry was expected to come back, and he left. And I know Clark Phillips III is, might be a guy to step in as a freshman. You hate to have to rely on that, but it just feels like that's kind of the weakest of all spots for Utah next year.
I mean, that's right now, Scott. I mean, if we look at what's going on there, they've got some guys that were backups last year, talented guys, very athletic guys like Travis Broughton, and some of these other guys. But yeah, it's going to be pretty thin. Now, here's what I will say: I think they're holding. I don't think they're going to be signing anybody. Maybe one, but I don't think anybody in the next signing period in 2 weeks. But I think what they're doing is probably holding a couple of transfer spots open. And I think they're probably combing the market to try and find a corner or a safety, maybe even a linebacker too. I think they're going to have 2 or 3 spots open that they've saved for transfers. So it wouldn't surprise me if they tried to go out there and find somebody that's got a little bit of experience. But if not, very athletic, very talented, just very inexperienced guys. And it may be trial by fire early on.
So far, Bill, one of the things that we've I think we benefited from as people who watch the game, and we're into the game and we cover the game. The transfer portal's been interesting and how coaches can use it. It's been, it's been a blessing and a curse at the same time, I think, for a lot of coaches. I know BYU uses the transfer portal for a lot of positions. I know locally, if you've got a place, the transfer portal might be one of those places. Is that something that Kyle Whittingham and his staff look at and they go, no, we're looking heavily in the transfer portal for guys for these specific positions?
Oh, yeah. I talked to Kyle about that during the year in the fall, when he and I would get together and chat on the road or before coaches shows or things like that. And he goes, it's another form of recruiting. He says, you have to look at the transfer portal the same way you look at when you're going after high school or junior college kids. This is now the recruiting form for college, proven college commodities. It's just another avenue. You recruit high school kids out of high school. You recruit junior college kids out of junior college. And now you're recruiting because we know there's, 800, 900, 1,000 kids in the transfer portal. You're using that as almost a graduate and or, proven commodity portal. So, yeah, they do use it, and I think that's why I was saying I think you're going to see not just Utah but everybody hold back a couple of scholarships, right, especially in a year like this where you're not going to be quite as experienced. So maybe last year they wouldn't have done it. They had Manny Bowen, and that was about it. But maybe you're going to do it a little bit more when you've got some years where you hold those things back.
So I want to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs here, kind of switching gears, and not so much about the game and Patrick Mahomes and all that stuff. But
fun to talk about, though.
It is. It really is, and he's a special player. But I'm just curious, you're a longtime Chiefs fan, and yeah. and I know you have a pulse on those fans. And what is the vibe that you feel and that you're getting from people? How big a deal is this for these Chiefs fans to finally get back to a Super Bowl?
Well, here's the deal. I grew up in Kansas City. We moved there when I was seven in 1977. They were 7 years removed from playing in a Super Bowl, but they were terrible. After the Super Bowl, they had another good year or two, and then they just went in the toilet. And they were bad for a lot of years. I know a lot of people remember the Marty Schottenheimer years. They had a lot of good teams that came up short. I was also a Royals fan. The Royals have won and played in three World Series and won two World Series in the time that since the Chiefs last even appeared in a Super Bowl and won it. There's a drought there, and it's such a big football town, Scott. You know that. I don't know if you ever played at Arrowhead.
I did, yeah.
Tailgating. And when Lamar Hunt brought that team there from Dallas out of the AFL, he wanted to create a college atmosphere in the Midwest, and he did that with the tailgating and the fans, and 80,000 show up, mostly rain or shine and cold and everything else. So, you know, that town's been teased before, but to go 50 years between appearances, it's a really, really big deal. And then when you throw on top of it, you know, a guy like Andy Reid, who's one of the really good guys in coaching, who hasn't won his yet, and you've got maybe the best player in the NFL in past. There's a lot of buzz. My mom and dad still live there. You know, I'm still a big fan. A lot of my good friends still live there, so I talk to them, and there's just a real excitement and buzz. In fact, I was talking to my mom the other day. She's passing out, you know, sacrament at church on Sunday, and she said, "I've never seen so much Chiefs gear." She was like, it's 10 o'clock now. Yeah, the game's awesome. At 1. She's got 10 o'clock mass, and she's like, you know, everybody had their – they weren't wearing their Sunday best.
Right.
They were wearing their Chiefs best.
It is the Sunday best.
That was their Sunday best.
Yeah, that is
yeah,
the Sunday
that's
best.
Exactly what it was. I told her, I said, Mom, I don't think God cares what you're wearing as long as you're there, especially on a playoff Sunday. So there's a real buzz there that's really kind of comparable to what a big college football town or school is like.
We'll have to get the Super Bowl breakdown from you next week, Bill, when we have you on again. So we'll get the real insider look at what the Super Bowl is going to be like next week. Bill Riley, he's the voice of the Utes right here on KSL's Unrivaled. We appreciate you hitting all the topics that we threw at you tonight, there, Bill.
And if you guys pick against the Chiefs, I may pick up a stool and swing it at you.
we know what you people
That's
do.
How
in
the Kansas.
Kansas
people roll.
We know how it works. All right, thanks, Bill. We appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, guys.
Taking the break here. We'll come back. We got more to go. Coming up later this hour, you'll hear Mitch Harper, his version of what the roster looks like for BYU and where they're at in the spring. Stay with us. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.